I'm Bill Littlefield, and it's time for Three Stories You Should Know. There was an upset in college basketball last week. You might have heard about it.
Incredible performance. Shock and awe in college basketball. UMBC makes history in Charlotte.
And that's where we're going to start. I'm joined by ESPN's Don Vannotta Jr. and by NHL.com's Amelie Benjamin. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks for having me.
Don, you go first.
Bill, before last weekend, I would have thought the acronym UMBC stood for some federal government bureaucratic agency that doesn't do anything but make people upset. Well, it turns out we now know it's the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, which we kept hearing all of last weekend is near the airport. Their mascot is the Retrievers. And they pulled off the greatest upset in college basketball history, as we all know. And so I said on Twitter that this year's Final Four teams, whomever they will be, won't be remembered years from now, but no one will ever forget UMBC. Most people agreed, but quite a few people took exception to that. I had to remind my friends who took exception to that. Florida Gulf Coast, back in 2012, was the first 15th seed to make the Sweet 16. Now, can you tell me who was in the Final Four that year? Only the most diehard college basketball fans could tell you Kentucky won the national title, but the other three teams, Louisville, Kansas, and Ohio State, nobody can remember. So it raises this question. What do we remember in sports and why? And is it true that teams that should lose and somehow win, the great underdogs, or teams that always lose, are better and more fondly remembered than the teams that win championships?
There's no question to me. I mean, it strikes something inside us because I think we all sort of feel maybe that we ourselves are kind of lovable losers and maybe we're underdogs. And I think we like to see someone overcoming what they weren't supposed to do because we relate a little bit. It's just a very relatable thing to see someone do what they're not supposed to do. It's the greatest story in sports.
Absolutely. I have to make one comment that I always make when this subject comes up, and that is that what we just saw in this tournament was not the first time a 16 knocked off a 1. In fact, the Harvard women did it by beating Stanford several years ago. Yes. So we need to make that point.
Absolutely.
Beyond that, I love it when an underdog does what this team did and what that Harvard team did because it proves that the experts don't know as much as they think they do. And I love to hear them scramble to try to tell us why everything they said before the tournament began was wrong. And boy, oh boy, is this an opportunity this time around with this tournament.
Yeah. And UMBC beat the number one overall seeded team in Virginia. So technically it's a number 64 team beating the overall number one team, which
Fair
is really
enough.
Remarkable.
Amelie, what have you got for us?
Well, we're talking about the NCAA tournament. And just imagine if those players, say from Virginia, finished out their tournament runs, hung up their Virginia uniforms, and joined NBA teams immediately. Now, this is something that's not all that uncommon in hockey and the NHL. In fact, Ryan Donato finished up his Harvard career as a junior on Friday in a loss to Clarkson in the ECAC tournament, signed his professional contract on Sunday for $925,000, and on Monday he scored his first NHL career goal.
I've got a couple assists.
And got a couple assists against the Columbus Blue Jackets. But that wasn't all. He is bringing his books on the road with the Bruins, and on Tuesday, he got special permission from the team to stay back in Boston and attend classes at Harvard while the rest of his teammates flew on their cushy charter jet to St. Louis. He flew commercial, arrived in St. Louis, and then scored his second NHL goal on Wednesday.
What's really remarkable is something that he said, and that is, and I don't think I've ever heard a student athlete say this, including student athletes in college. He said, I'm going to do all the schoolwork I need, turn in every paper on time. A remarkable thing for a professional athlete to say. So he's so admirable, and you know, he's my hero, basically.
You know, I don't know what his course load is. I don't know what his schedule looks like. But I do recall that when I was in college, there were a few courses, if you were clever. I remember a combination geology and astronomy course we called Rocks and Stars, for example. And you could get by in Rocks and Stars without really being there very much. And then my senior year, I took a course called Revolutions and Revolutionary Thought. And at the midterm, the professor said, if you guys want to take your midterm grade for your final because you have more time to protest the war, go ahead. And you didn't have to be around to get a high grade in that course either. So maybe he's just been very clever in his picks. I don't know.
Well, when your father is the Harvard coach, you sort of have someone overseeing what's happening. So I think there's probably someone itching to push him toward that Harvard degree by the end. He does intend, he's going to finish out his junior academic year this year, and he does intend to eventually graduate, but he knows he needs to finish out this junior year first.
A lot of the times when people leave to play on the national team, lots of women at Harvard and BC and BU have done this. They leave to play on the national team in the Olympics or the World Championships, and they just take that semester off and come back and end up getting their degree in 5 years rather than four. But this is an ambitious thing to do, try and finish the semester and turn the papers in on time. I'm impressed.
Which we should actually mention that he did go to the Olympics. He took
Absolutely.
3 weeks off to go to the Olympics. So he may have some catch-up work to do, which maybe is why he's going to be hitting the books instead of playing poker in the back of the plane on the rest of the year road trips.
Probably cheaper for a rookie to hit the books than play poker on the back of the plane. All right, it's my turn. In a New York Times article titled Canada's Outdoor Rinks Are Melting, So Is a Way of Life, an environmental scientist in Canada says, your average Canadian is never going to see a polar bear in the wild, never see a glacier, and will never go to the South Pacific. But your kids, your grandkids are not going to be able to skate in the backyard rink. You tell them that, and they're going to say, oh, okay, I get it. I see the connection. Loss of a tradition. I'm wondering if this is going to be a turning point as far as people having their consciousness raised about climate change when it begins to affect the hockey rinks in their own backyards. What do you think? Sport as consciousness raiser, Emily?
I think it's the best way to do it. I mean, bring it home, make it personal, make it something that really hits your heartstrings. I mean, the number of NHL players I've heard wax poetic about the nostalgia of playing on backyard rinks, of growing up with this kind of way of life. I mean, the NHL has built an entire industry around it with the Winter Classic and the Stadium Series.
Pond hockey. There are even pond hockey leagues and championships and all the rest of it. And if the ponds don't freeze, no pond hockey.
You take away the Canadians' outdoor hockey, they're going to get really serious about global warming fast. It's hockey outside and beer. You get in the way of either one of those things with Canadians and they get really, really upset. I agree. I think that this is actually could put a lot of momentum, certainly, of our friends north of the border behind consciousness and concern about global warming.
And we have to be on the lookout for other instances evident in sport that actually have impact well beyond the final score. In this case, yeah, hooray for a sports story that reminds us of a vital concern. And I have no joke beyond that. My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been NHL.com's Emily Benjamin and ESPN's Don Van Nonna Jr. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Always a pleasure.